Turn with me this morning in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In Acts 16, we have Paul and Silas on their second missionary journey. Paul received the Macedonian vision or the Macedonian call. He went over, they went to Philippi, and they faced stiff opposition, stiff times there, and throughout various of his other visits. And in the first part of Acts 17, we have a brief account of Paul and Silas's visit to Thessalonica. For three Sabbaths, Paul was able to expound to them the gospel of Christ, and apparently there was a following. Some of the gospel took root. Verse 4 in Acts 17, "And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few." Later then, we are blessed with a couple of letters that Paul wrote to that church at Thessalonica. Both speak of the return of Christ, and it seems that the Thessalonians may have had some misconceptions regarding that. This morning I want to read the first 11 verses from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Paul here is talking to the Thessalonians about the day of the Lord. I think we could say the return of Jesus Christ. He uses two metaphors to help them understand this concept. The first is a comparison to Christ's return being like a thief in the night. How many of you have ever had something stolen? Most of you. There's a pretty good... you know, there's different things about having something stolen that compare with Christ's return. There's something about an unexpected theft that leaves you shaken, surprised, unprepared, stunned. I remember a time that I was in the big market in Managua, Nicaragua. I'd gone there to buy a bicycle for Hannah. It was her birthday or was around that time. And the market was not a very savory place. It was one of the most dangerous places in the city and probably in the country. There were a lot of booths crowded closely together. There was a lot of vendors selling their goods. And there was a lot of petty crime. There were several things about that trip that day that I did wrong. I went fairly late in the day. It usually seemed to be safer if it was earlier in the day. And I carried my billfold in. Often I would just pull out my money, leave my valuables, my billfold and my paper somewhere else, and take the money that I thought I might need and just carry it in folded bills in my pocket. And I don't think I was as careful as I should have been when I was counting out money to buy the bicycle or whatever. Well, as I was there going about my business, very suddenly, very quickly, a hand entered into my pocket and departed very quickly in possession of my billfold. This billfold carried a fair amount of cash. Boom, it happened just like that. Very quickly, I had been careless, and I was caught off guard by a thief. The second metaphor here in this passage is about travail upon a woman with child. I might not be able to relate quite as well with this word picture as some of you, but I have observed the scenario from a distance. You know, the development of an unborn child is a process that spans quite a few months. At the start, there may be complete ignorance, no knowledge whatsoever of the upcoming event. But along the way, there start being reminders, more and more reminders, especially for the mother, about what is to come. It's a growing awareness. You may well have heard about unplanned, unwanted pregnancies among young girls that maybe have lived in ignorance and denial until very close to the time when these things came to pass. And that's hard to understand, it seems like. During a lot of the time of this development, the mother can go about life without a lot of significant interruption. But there comes a time, which was off in the distance, that is now here. And it is somewhere, sometime, is today, and something must and something will happen. There's an urgency. There's something about that. What is it about the day of the Lord that will catch people off guard? Paul seemed to be expressing a confidence in the Thessalonians that they're not going to be like that. I would like to look at three things this morning from this passage that I think characterize people who are prepared and characterize perhaps the Thessalonians and can characterize us here this morning. First, ye are the children of light. Verse 5, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. Ephesians 5:8, a related passage, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, it's no secret that the world is very dark around us, and it seems that it's only getting darker in these last days. You know, some of you may have had the experience of traveling in a third world country where you're back beyond the electric grid, there's no electric lights in the house. I remember a time, experience I had in Liberia 2 years ago, possibly. It was a village, and they, for the guest quarters, they put me alone. I wasn't with the other people, and it was just kind of cooped up in this mud hut, dark, no electricity. I think they tried to make some preparations so I wouldn't be bothered with mosquitoes. But there was something kind of almost scary and claustrophobic about a situation like that. You know, it's a tremendous blessing if your host leaves a light with you before he leaves you for the night. Light illuminates our surroundings. Light and darkness cannot coexist. Light dispels darkness. As children of light, we are torch bearers, and we can be that torch sharer that a considerate host is for his guests. The world is a better place for us having been there if we have been light bearers. It is our privilege to share light with those around us. This can be invisible things like those of you that are involved in the Rise Kids Church. Those of you involved in Hands of Christ Ministries. Maybe it's some foreign work that you're doing. But it can be in the everyday duties of life as well that we are children of light. It can be when you're counting the change back to the clerk who just gave you change, not because she cheated you, but because she was cheating herself and her boss with her poor math. Perhaps someone is hurting and bearing their heart with you, and you just offer to pray for them, right with them, right at the time. Being a light may mean not laughing at a questionable joke, not participating in degrading gossip. Walking in the light is living a life that's genuine, that's true blue. What you see is what you get. What you preach is what you practice. A life that's without pretense, without pretext. It's a genuine life. May the world know this morning that we are children of light. The second point, ye are not in darkness, but ye brethren are not in darkness, out of verse 4. Romans 13:12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. You know, there's many things about darkness that aren't very reassuring. Your young children could maybe not explain that, but demonstrate that often. I remember visiting back in Waslala with Pablo and Eunice. They had experienced or were experiencing a lot of robberies. Life was difficult. Life was not easy out there in the country. And I remember just kind of the sense of tension that you could feel along as it got dark in the evening. Children who ever be going around and closing those wooden shutters just to give a sense of security. And that night, when one of those nights when somebody came up to the house late at night, and we and Pablo thought maybe this is it, maybe someone would be coming. There's just an uncertainty about darkness, a fear, a tension. Night can be fearful. This passage talks about drunkenness happening at night. Like molds that thrive in the absence of light, there are many, many illicit activities that flourish in the hours of darkness. Immorality, drunkenness, drugs, burglaries. Let us cast off the works of darkness. As we walk in the light, as we're children of light, may the world know that we are not of darkness. Thirdly, from verse 11, edify one another. As Christians, we need to build each other up. We are social creatures. I can see why Adam was lonely before Eve. We see a beautiful sunset, a lovely flower, or a wonderful rainbow like some of you saw last evening. Those sights can bless us, but a big part of that blessing is being able to share with others. In our Christian walk, we need each other. You know, our Sunday school times are just wonderful examples of that, of speaking into each other's lives and edifying each other. The teacher maybe is making a point, and let's say Leroy is teaching, and he makes a point. Maybe Dwight picks up on the point and affirms it. Brian adds his thoughts with just a little different perspective that gives it further clarification. Then Titus related something that happened last week, and it just ties it all together and makes it practical. You're speaking into each other's lives. You're edifying each other. It's wonderful how the Holy Spirit can take one message, one service, and tailor it individually to fit the needs of many, many different people. This morning we've gathered in God's house. We're aware that the here and now is not always going to be like it is here and now. We want always to be prepared for the day of the Lord. Let's be sure that we've cast off the works of darkness, that we're walking in the light, and that we're being edified. We are edifying and being edified by each other. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for this passage here, this letter written to the Thessalonians. I just pray that we could learn the lessons that Paul was giving to them there. I pray that we could always be prepared for the day of the Lord, that we would walk in light and not in darkness, that we would edify each other and build each other up, so much the more as we see the day approaching. Go with this service, dear God, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.